Now, back to a couple of guys who thought Lassie could never really do any of that stuff anyway, and that Timmy was the brains of the operation. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and in this segment, we have with us on the phone a real specialist, a PhD in environmental science with an emphasis in toxicology, Dr. Maurice Lafayette. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lafayette.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Dr. Lafayette, after hearing you speak down in Atlanta, Rick was raving to me and pretty much I think anyone who would listen about how informative you were in your conversation about the issue of really acclimating your especially fish in an environment when a tank is either starting up or has been recently transported. And I would love it if you could kind of share a little bit of that conversation with our listeners.
Well, I believe Rick got most of that from our platinum training here at CKM, so it was more or less for them to get an idea of what happens so they can talk to people. And what we went over in that was just even simple what ammonia nitrite does over even a little bit over a long time period of time, what it does to the gills and how it kind of inhibits some oxygen pickup and you get some stress from that. We went over inadequate water conditions overall, just water changes, temperature changes, and what really happens in an immune response. When you want something to pick up a particular pathogen, note it, and basically destroy it and get better. We went over just the simple handling and how it destroys some of the slime coat and what we call the normal flora, which is just normally on that slime coat, you have a certain amount of bacteria that naturally live there, and they kind of outcompete other bacteria, either by consumption of nutrients or producing a small amount of natural antibody to kill off the next door neighbor. And so it kind of, just the handling alone can introduce a stress and a problem. We went over overcrowding, aggression, we went over some diseases, poor nutrition, and normally you see that for long-term fish that are being kept over a period of years, and just the stress of particular treatments used when you see a disease or something is going on and how to recognize certain stress signals and to fix them.
So, Maurice, to the people listening, we're talking mainly in this show, we're going to try to focus on appreciating what animals have to go through when they're stressed and how to get them over those stresses, and specifically fish here. And I was particularly interested in your conversation about how the body responds to stress and how everything kind of gets shoved in a different direction than they're used to. You know, I can imagine a fish being in a bag for many hours, or if they're taking it to their house, it's been some time. Explain how that, you know, seemingly healthy fish swimming around looking good, what is he actually experiencing when he actually stresses out?
Pretty much every organism has something they call homeostasis. It's the nice thing that they like to say where everything is good. And when we start to change the temperature, throw in a different pH or something to that effect, the body has to adjust to that. And the adjustments take away from the energy that we would normally use to make antibodies and have an immune response, because that is secondary in nature. The first thing you're supposed to do is do your basal survival, pick up oxygen, eat, and things of that nature. And an immune function is normally something secondary that was developed. So when stress happens, we go back to trying to do those first things that we were supposed to do, breathe, make sure that our body stays a consistent temperature. We'll notice that just in a bag like that, the temperature shift a degree is enormous for them. A degree is almost kind of going from outside now, what we're at around here in the South, we're picking up about 100 degrees a day going back into a freezer. I mean, it does a lot to them, and their blood vessels are constricting or dilating to adjust to the temperature change. And so when that happens, any stored blood sugar that would normally go to secondary functions, such as immune response, they're now going to just adjusting blood vessels and temperature.
Okay. And also another thing that happens, I suppose, when there's a move or a change, or when you're moving from, let's say, store to your fish tank, or if you're moving your tank from point A to point B, inevitably, unless you're really careful, there's going to be a pH change. And maybe how does that affect fish?
pH is one of those things that without the equation, it's a bigger thing to understand. And what we try to do here to make it a little easier for people to understand is like having 10 people shoved in a small room, versus 1,000. The change in pH is huge. It's a tenfold change.
And that's just one point. So if it goes from 7.0 to 8.0, it's all of a sudden a whole different environment
drastic.
For the fish.
Okay. And they're having to adjust to just that little change. It's kind of like somebody ripping all the oxygen out of the room, and now you're having to adjust to having little oxygen.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about pH. We talked a little bit about temperature. Is there any other major stressors that you find that, fish have to succumb either through a big move or transition or just in general?
If we're just talking moving and transition, it's usually the handling because it messes up a good portion of the slime coat, and that's actually very important for them.
How can I know you guys are great at this because you have a fantastic product, but what does one do when they're handling these fish? What's the best thing that one can do if in handling them is inevitable, and what can they do while they're handling them that way reduce the stress?
Inevitably, at some point, you may have to handle them. I have to handle them occasionally, and what I end up doing is going back and adding the stress guard to help out with that, just to cover up any areas that I have removed slime coat.
Okay.
It's pretty much designed to have a protein colloid that has a natural affinity towards the fish's outer body. Outside of that, if I handle or move, I try to make sure that I have consistent pH and consistent temperature, and at the very least, I have no ammonia or nitrate issues.
Okay, okay. Checking water parameters, making sure they're good beginning, and also adding stress guard. And stress guard is essentially your company's approach to cover the fish when it's been exposed. They have that slime coat on their body. It comes off of them through movement. It makes an excellent opportunity for invaders, and you have this particular product that coats them kind of like a gel cap, if you will, coats over their body and kind of protects them, right?
Yes, sir. And basically, if you're transporting any fish in a bag, it also has it won't adjust the pH of anything that you have in the bag. So if your water is buffered pretty decently and the transport is pretty quick, you shouldn't have a bunch of waste buildup that drops the pH.
Oh, good, good. Okay.
Maurice, I have a question for you, and again, it goes back to my days when I would bring a fish tank to and from as I was in college, and we are a college town here. I used to try and preserve the original gravel on the bottom of the tank and always keep a portion of the water in the tank. Was that just extra effort, or does that make a difference in helping keep the environment more comfortable for the fish while you're transporting them?
It can maintain a good portion of the bacteria. There's a lot of bacteria products now that you can add some back. We have stability that you add back the bacteria, but it can help with the initial any waste and adding quite a few bacteria at some time.
Yeah, well, I think what we'll do is when there's a big change like that, obviously some of the bacteria have been stressed at least, mm-hmm. if not lost, and we recommend exactly what you're doing, Lee, and that's bringing a fantastic bed of bacteria with you so you don't just that's one of the problems I think common is that people have a tendency of wanting to kind of do housekeeping when they go to move and they replace all their gravel, and that tends to be a big mistake.
Or just changing anything out. And
yeah.
You're going to probably lose some bacteria anyway, so it is a good idea to always
add
bacteria at that point, no matter what, so you don't even have to go back and guess as to what may happen, or you end up testing consistently. It's always a good idea to go back and add those, especially after a move or anything, especially where the filters aren't running, because you're going to lose some.
And your product, it's called Stability. We use it a lot, and it's one of those things. How often would you be adding Stability if you made the move, and is it something you want to continue to add over time?
I would add it daily, and at that point, it's always a good thing to always keep on hand, just because incidences happen where something may die in the tank and you have a flux of nutrients all of a sudden, and that causes ammonia, or you have power failures, you add new fish, anytime like that, you're going to want to add more bacteria to kind of get the numbers boosted up so you don't end up with a small amount of ammonia or nitrite, just because if you remember when we went over it, you have gills, and they're all supposed to be very thin, and they only carry so much blood cells down at one time, and they're designed to be thin, and they're designed to be numerous. So there's a bunch of them because you only have 8% oxygen in the water. They need to stay thin like that and pick up as much oxygen because it increases the surface tension. So you pick up a lot more oxygen that way. When ammonia or nitrite hits those gills, they get somewhat swollen and it decreases the blood flow. So you're decreasing the amount of oxygen now that this fish can carry.
So if you're not careful, you can definitely suffocate your fish just with poor water chemistry. Another problem that I always find, when, especially in the move, is that one thing you don't know, those little gas bubbles that show up when you do huge water changes or you fill the tank up brand new, are a death sentence. You know, and maybe you know, that those are gases that are coming. Correct me if I'm wrong. Those are gases coming out of solution, and they need to go somewhere, and they affix themselves to any surface they can. And those gill membranes, those gentle, careful membranes that you're talking about, are easily invaded by those gas bubbles, right?
Yeah, and they can end up pretty much looking somewhat inflated.
And that the only thing you can do there is carry as much water or use aged water whenever possible. Don't do a 90% water change when you make the big move because your water chemistry is bad before you move. Is that right?
Yeah, it can depend. If you're an exceptionally prepared person.
If the water's aged, then I can see that working out. But just brand new tap water, I know around here, right here in Lansing, if you fill that up with brand new water,
to adjust almost every single parameter, temperature, everything.
Right, and let it degas. That's the one thing I've found. So.
Well, we're speaking this morning with Dr. Maurice Lafayette, who has a PhD in environmental science with an emphasis in toxicology, who works for SeaChem. And Maurice, let me ask you this question. We've talked a lot about how a small change in temperature can affect the animals pretty tremendously. What about when it comes to altitude? Because one of the things that most people might not think about, and I guess I'm thinking about, if I get fish that come from the Dead Sea area where it's a very low altitude, and I'm going to school in Colorado where I might be at 9,000 feet, how does that affect the animals, or does it not?
For some, depending on what you've got, it's less of a problem for freshwater fish, obviously.
Okay, and what about saltwater fish?
Depending on how some of them are, especially for wild caught, they try to, I hope that when they're coming in, they're being adjusted. It has effect of basically the amount of oxygen the blood carries.
Yeah, and one thing you can always do is, if you're going to a store and you're getting fish, you know, don't buy them the first day they came in. Make sure they've been in there for a week or two. See that they're breathing calmly, comfortably,
and that they've adjusted to the change. And pretty much the only way to do that is, if you're moving, is I hope that in somewhere in the move it goes a little bit slower. But if you're just talking about, like, some of them will fly and things of that nature, some of them may not make it, but it's an adjustment in literally the amount of oxygen that they're carrying and the pressure they're feeling.
Okay. And we're going to have to wrap it up here, but feeding is another issue that you brought up, long-term stressor, and good diet is really important. If you want to do a quick comment on that.
I think it's more or less you want to provide around diet, just kind of like as any human or any dog, people try to do the best they can. You can't feed something continuously. Say you can't eat rice as a diet.
Right.
You need a variety of things, and you need sometimes it may be just a supplement of some other amino acids and whatnot, but for long term, you'll see stuff like lateral line and a few other deficiencies that come up, and you'll see color changes in fish where they don't normally develop from the juvenile to adult stage properly.
Well,
without the pride.
Thank you very, very much, Maurice. We really appreciate having you on the show, and that's been very informative.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm actually really honored that you even thought to call and ask.
Thank you,
Beth. We appreciate it. And in the next segment, we're going to continue the conversation about how to acclimate your pet, all right, here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
I must admit, I can't explain any of these dogs racing through my brain.
It's true.
Baby, I'm howling. Something wrong with this plot. The actors here have